from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Before he was deposed in February, the democratically elected president of the Maldives, Mohamed Nasheed, emerged as an international leader on climate change issues. The low-lying island nation is particularly vulnerable to sea level rise, and public protest and police mutiny forced Nasheed out of office. We'll talk about the film with the filmmakers, and then at 10:30, Abel Gance's silent epic Napoleon has had a turbulent history since it premiered in 1927. Cinema historian Kevin Brownlow has spent decades restoring the film, and starting this weekend, it will be shown at Oakland's Paramount Theater. We'll talk about it. Forum next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. The Island President is a film about Mohamed Nasheed, the battling climate change activist who served as president of the Maldives. It won the People's Choice Award as Best Documentary at the 2011 Toronto International Film Festival. The Maldives is a nation of low-lying islands of nearly 4,000 people located in the Indian Ocean. It stands to be the first country to succumb to global warming. And the film focuses on Mohamed Nasheed's leadership in establishing a democratic government after being imprisoned and tortured over a six-year period. As president, he saw to it that his nation, mortally endangered by global warming, became the first carbon-free nation in the world, and he led the fight for the world's first international agreement at the 2009 International Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen. Joining us for this forum segment to talk about Mohamed Nasheed and the award-winning documentary film is the director of that film, The Island Nation. And he is here with us in studio, and we welcome you to the program, John Cheng.
Thank you for having me.
San Francisco, John Cheng.
Thank you for having me, yes.
Let's give you your bona fides here as a local boy, and congratulations on the film, which is really, in many ways, an extraordinary film. The first thing I want to mention, just as someone who screened it yesterday, is just how beautiful this nation is. You know, I mean, think about it going underwater and your heart aches.
Absolutely. You know, when flying into the Maldives for the first time, the first thought that enters my mind, I think enters a lot of minds of people who go there is, oh my gosh, you know, I had no idea that this existed on this planet. It's just absolutely beautiful. It's like seeing one of the wonders of the world for the first time. And then about a half a second later, your mind has the thought, and oh my gosh, it's so vulnerable. It's so fragile. These islands, it's almost like it's an accident of nature that they exist in the first place, and it's so evident right away that how vulnerable they would be to sea level rise.
Well, there's in addition to the beauty and the high-priced hotels and ocean beaches, of course, there's great poverty there. But you really capture the spirit of this man. And many of us have admired him for quite some time. And we should say that post-film, there's not necessarily a happy ending. We'll talk about that later. But let's talk about what you cover here first, because you know, this was the first Muslim country before the Arab Spring and all that to go democratic and to have a democratic system.
Absolutely. And, you know, I read about Nasheed first in 2008 when he was the first democratically elected leader of the Maldives. And at the time, you're right, it was absolutely a novel thing, you know, for a nation that had been ruled by a dictator for 30 years. It was the longest running dictatorship in Asia and 100% Muslim country. And suddenly, after 20 years of civil rights protests, these folks won free elections. And then ultimately, Nasheed, their leader, won the presidency. And of course, the other thing that stuck out is that he took office and they immediately plunged into the climate debate. And, you know, the light bulb that went off in my mind was wow, he's framing the climate debate as a human rights issue. You know, and he very much sees the climate fight, the struggle for climate against climate change, as an extension of his fight for democracy.
He was a human rights activist, we should mention here. And he's a man who also saw it as a fight to save the planet, which it is in many people's judgment.
In his mind, it's a fight for human rights. He spent his life basically since university on the streets, you know, in the Maldives, in kind of these, you know, Martin Luther King / Nelson Mandela type, you know, nonviolence protests that just went on and on. He was imprisoned and tortured over the years by the dictator, and ultimately through perseverance and nonviolent actions was able to force, get international attention on the Maldives and force elections there.
8 years in prison and much of them in solitary undergoing some really terrible tortures. I mean, it's an extraordinary story. And I want to hear a cut from the film. This comes actually shortly after President Nasheed became the country's first democratically elected leader in, as John Schenck said, 3 decades.
When we came to power, we thought we won the fight. After 20 years, we thought, look, okay, you know, we'll have a happy life. But we had our first few cabinet meetings, and most of the pending issues were climate change issues. Weather patterns are changing, and that's having a very big impact on fisheries. We have lost a lot of shoreline. Our islands are going to be flooded.
That's President Mohamed Nasheed from the film that we're talking about here with the director, John Schenck. The film, again, is out and available. In fact, opens March 30th at Landmark's Embarcadero Center Cinema in San Francisco. Also opening April 6th at Landmark Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. And you can meet the filmmaker in person, actually, at both those events, filmmaker of Island President. You know, when we heard that cut, John, what I'm struck by is some of the visuals in the film. And for example, you see the fishermen out there and, you know, they're catching fish, but the volume of what they're catching is so dwarfed by essentially. And then you see the shores too, and you see the erosion of the shores. I mean, it's very important for you as a director to capture just visually, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, you know, in addition to bringing Nasheed to life, obviously, as kind of the central hero of the film, we really went to great lengths to try to humanize the Maldives and really give people a sense of what life is like there. They are extraordinary. They, as Nasheed says in the film, they've been, you know, a people living in harmony with the sea for thousands of years. And one thing that's kind of interesting about the country is that their main export is tuna, canned tuna, and they fish in this way that's just kind of shockingly simple, which is that they pull in line fish. They bait the waters and they use line and bait to pull the tuna from the water, which in this modern day and age of, you know, net fishing, which there's so much, you know, activism against, the Maldivians essentially do it the right way. They do it in a sustainable way as they have done for centuries. So it's we wanted to show that. We wanted to show kind of how, you know, really sort of innocent and life is there in the Maldives.
Even gave little human touches that I noticed, nuances to Nasheed and the way he eats and the things that he likes to eat as opposed to the things he doesn't like to eat. But also, you capture what happens to the country in a human way because of the tsunami.
Yeah, you know, the vulnerability of the Maldives was really shown in a dramatic way during the Boxing Day tsunami in 2004. With a few feet, actually, it was a pretty subtle rise in that part of the world because it was obviously thousands of miles away from the epicenter, but still, just with a couple of feet of rise, waters just inundate the islands in the Maldives, and a couple of islands were so badly devastated that they had to move the population to nearby islands. So you can just see. It's a perfect example of the water rising and just having a devastating effect on the population there.
And here's a country that under Nasheed's leadership became the first carbon neutral country in the world, as we said. And you can see him up there putting the solar panels on even.
Yeah, when Nasheed came to office, one of the things that was just absolutely remarkable and just sort of jumped off the page about him was that he pledged to make the Maldives the first carbon neutral nation in the world. They are a small country and they have a small population in the hundreds of thousands, but the idea of having a nation that would be carbon neutral, the symbolic power of that to the environmental movement and to show how it can be done to other countries was really powerful. That plan was slated to go into effect over the course of the next 10 years, finally reaching their goal in 2020. So it's just an incredible goal. And yes, towards the end of the film, he does put solar panels on the presidential residence in the Maldives.
He's a brilliant PR guy. I mean, the underwater cabinet meeting, you can't beat that kind of public relations. Let's describe that. Have you described that?
Well, Nasheed, you know, he's just an absolutely brilliant strategy, player of the game of politics, both domestically and abroad. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. He just is able to use all the kind of tools that he has, and they're not many given that he's a leader of a relatively small country. But he uses the media to his advantage, and he has this kind of mischievous way about the way he goes about things. And he had the idea that it would be quite fetching for the press to have a cabinet meeting underwater, and it was hailed as the world's first underwater cabinet meeting. And they donned scuba gear and they signed a proclamation asking the world to pay more attention to the issue of climate change, to essentially try to keep more underwater cabinet meetings from happening in the future. And the press bit hard. There was just tons of press about it.
I mean, what a great way to communicate the fact that my country is going to be underwater unless something is done. I thought it was quite brilliant, actually. But that takes us actually to Copenhagen, and he really, talk about his political savvy and the kind of shoulder to the wheel and work that he did. I mean, just going around like a hurricane almost, talking to so many world leaders and trying to get an agreement, a reduction to that 350 number that we heard from Bill McKibben, that we heard from so many environmental and climate change activists. And in fact, let's hear another clip from the film. This is Nasheed speaking at the Copenhagen Climate Change Conference, which you may recall was back in 2009.
Mr. Chairman, this is just one instance when Maldives is asking our friends, our developing country friends, to help us. Please accept this decision and please keep this document alive. We need this document for us to go on. There are many countries who need this document. It has many lifelines. And please, I would like to make this plea from the bottom of my heart to my fellow friends from the developing countries to accept this document and to adopt this decision. Thank you very much.
Well, of course, with it, we had a happier ending, but they did get an agreement, and it was an unprecedented agreement. It was just that it didn't have quite the teeth in it that was hoped for.
Yeah, you know, when I hear that clip again, I'm reminded of a really important kind of idea in this film, which is that, you know, when I read about Nasheed coming to office and starting his campaign against climate change, I thought, you know, the climate debate, the issue of climate change is often thought of as something that is just very difficult to gain traction on. And, you know, kind of no matter what we do, no matter how much scientific proof is out there, it just seems like one of those things that kind of bores people. And the light bulb that went off in my mind was, you know what? It's actually anything but. If you could describe a movie that had the plot of, you know, the impending apocalypse, and then you create a kind of a David Goliath tale where, you know, this hero is trying to save the world from impending doom, I just thought that would be amazing. And Nasheed turns out to be this character. He is the David to the kind of world's Goliath of climate change. And he speaks from the heart. He has an authenticity about him, and he has a kind of a moral authority because his country is so endangered by the, you know, by what's happened with the environment. And it becomes, as you show in this clip, it becomes kind of almost like a political thriller at Copenhagen, where he's just kind of doing everything he can, moving in and out and using kind of the machinations of, you know, international politics that he gets to know so well as president to try to do something, anything, to bring the world together on agreement on climate change.
To save the world. I mean, what could be more dramatic than that? And you do capture that, I must say, also with a sense of the intrigue of the conference and the battles that go on behind the scenes and everything. It really becomes an epic struggle. I'm going to, at this point, invite those of you who are listening to feel free to join this conversation. I just want to mention John Shank, documentary filmmaker, cinematographer, and co-founder of San Francisco-based Actual Films, is with us, director of the award-winning The Island President, which opens March 30th at Landmarks Embarcadero Center Cinema in San Francisco, and April 6th at Landmark Shattuck Cinema in Berkeley. You can meet the filmmaker in person, as well as producer Bonnie Cohen, who will be speaking to audiences at the Embarcadero in San Francisco on Friday, March 30th and Saturday, March 29th at 7:10 p.m. There's a show each night. We do welcome your phone calls, and if you'd like to weigh in here and join this conversation, please feel free to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone calls. Or you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and you can go to our Facebook page. So a number of ways to join the conversation, and we do welcome you. 192 nations did sign on to a single agreement, as I suppose many of you know, at Copenhagen. It certainly called for a reduction of greenhouse gases, but did not have a requirement to that reduction. And in February of last month, and we need to recognize the fact, under threat of coup d'etat and under a lot of ongoing controversial questions about what actually was involved, she was driven out of office, actually resigned from office.
Yeah. You know, the entire time that we were making this film in the Maldives, whenever we would go out to cafes or have conversations in public with you know, regarding politics or Nasheed's travel schedule, that kind of thing, you know, our counterparts in the Maldives would always kind of whisper their answers to us. And we would ask them, what, you know, why are you so afraid? And basically the answer was that, you know, the dictator's people, his loyalists, the people that he kind of made rich for decades of rule, are still kind of in the midst of the police and the military and even the government and certainly the judiciary in the Maldives. And so democracy, while it had a foothold in the Maldives, never really had a chance to really blossom there. And ever since Nasheed was elected, the loyalists to the dictator have been trying to figure out a way to get him out of office, and they've done everything they could, and they finally were successful. In February, there was a mutiny in the police, in the military, and they basically came to Nasheed and said there was going to be a bloodbath unless he resigned. And he did what he's done for years in this situation, was that he chose the path of nonviolence. So that's a situation right now. It's desperate. The police are brutally attacking activists in the street. It's kind of all the kind of stormtrooper outfits and batons that existed in when Nasheed was a civil rights worker are sort of back out of the closet, and the police are using those techniques again against protests in the Maldives.
Well, when he went back the first time, I remember said words to the effect that either I'm going to be a martyr or we're going to get our country back, and they got their country back. And what makes this so heartbreaking is that Gayung, who was the dictator for 30 years, is not only back in power, but they've got those, and you got this on film, you got all these big machines that he's hired to try to deal with the problem of global warming, as opposed to, you know, making it carbon neutral and doing all the kinds of things that Nasheed brought into.
Yeah, it really is Nasheed's ouster from office is a huge loss for the climate movement. He, you know, having a head of state of a country that is so vulnerable, standing up and saying the things that he said that, you know, virtually no other leader in the world is saying the honest things that Nasheed is saying about climate, to lose that and to have the carbon neutral plan scrapped and to, you know, go back to what, you know, Nasheed himself describes as kind of petty politics, domestic politics, is a shame.
It's not only petty politics, but you get the sense of all the corruption that existed over 30 years. There's a moment in the film, for example, where there's some mirth and they say they're not going to have that first-rate whiskey anymore and all those kinds of things that were associated with graft, obviously, and money under the table. Where is he now, John?
Nasheed is in the capital in Malé, and he's you know, been the central part, a leader of essentially a kind of a new civil rights movement that's emerged in the last 6 weeks, you know, in the wake of his ouster from office.
But his life is obviously in danger.
Yeah, it's frightening. You know, the Maldivian police seem to know no end to you know, the techniques they use to try to maintain their hold on power. And you know, the amazing thing is I talked to Nasheed last week and I asked him, I said, you know, what's your feeling about what's happening? And he was just kind of it shouldn't come as a surprise because I know I've filmed him for so long, but he said, you know, John, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe, you know, when we do restore democracy to the country, people will know now who kind of the sort of the bad players are, and they've kind of outed themselves. And so he has this amazing ability to remain optimistic in the face of just you know, incredible dire situation.
One of the most inspiring things about the film is that resilience and that sense of for lack of a better word, optimism that he carries with him. Let's go to our callers. Here's a judge who lives in Marin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Your Honor, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I am curious at what point, what date, what's the predicted time when the Maldives will no longer be habitable?
Do we know that, John Schenck? That's a good question.
Well, that's an excellent question. And, you know, there's a lot of scientists, you know, working on this very issue, trying to figure out, you know, what is the, kind of the deadline. There's already, I can tell you what I know, which is that in many of the islands in the Maldives and other low-lying areas in the world already have groundwater pollution from saltwater seeping into the groundwater reserves. That's obviously a huge issue. You can't live without water, without fresh water. So that day might be coming sooner rather than later. I think generally kind of even conservative, you know, global warming scientists say that, you know, in the next 50 to 100 years, we're talking about anywhere between, you know, 1 meter to 2 meters of sea level rise. That would certainly render the Maldives uninhabitable. So, you know, we are talking about a period of time that is going to happen, you know, if we don't do anything about it in the lifetimes, you know, of young people who are on the planet.
And again, John Schenck with us in studio, and the film that we're talking about, I want to just, been a lot of stuff about the openings. It opens March 30th at Landmarks Embarcadero Center Cinema in San Francisco and April 6th at Landmarks Shattuck Cinema in Berkeley. Island president is the film, and let's go to more of your calls, and we'll go welcome David. David, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I'm really interested to hear these topics again and again. You speak to activism in the streets, and I just want to suggest that there is real hope. There are real solutions, but when I tell you that hundreds of military whistleblowers that form the Disclosure Project have found energy from the vacuum and that we don't need fossil fuels, I know that you're going to drop me and you're not going to talk about disclosure, and you're not going to talk about the military witnesses who put their lives on the line to say that climate change could be stopped right now.
This is not what you said you were going to talk about, I don't believe, but I thank you for the call. Let me go to another caller. Joseph, you're on. Hi.
Hey, yeah, I saw the trailer. The movie looks fantastic. Looking forward to seeing it, and congratulations. I just love this this gentleman's passion. But I guess my question is, and forgive me for being nihilistic here, but what exactly does he want done? You know, starting tomorrow, the world isn't going to stop using fossil fuels because of the Maldives. It sounds terrible, and I agree with him that we need to do something, but what exactly does he expect he can get done from here? Again, just trying to figure that out. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the call. John Schenck.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is, you know, I think he, Nasheed is kind of a, you know, a bottom-up change kind of guy. He really does believe that if you know that in the idea that, you know, what can one person do with the power that they have? He woke up one day and he was president of the Maldives, and he saw that the world's kind of biggest problem is climate change, and he asked himself, what can I do? And then he set about you know, on a course to use the power that he had to make that change. And I think that the challenge that he, you know, kind of gives to people and inspires people to do is to do that in their own lives. So there's that side. There's the hopeful side. On the bleak side, which, you know, I understand is obviously a reality as well, I think that what he would say is that, and he does say this in the film to a certain extent, is, you know, just because something terrible is happening, just because the Titanic is going down, doesn't mean that you lose a grip on your humanity. You know, even if you know you're doomed, you still, that doesn't give you the excuse not to do the right thing. And so I think Nasheed would say, look, you know, even though the Maldives is doomed to some extent, that doesn't mean that we're going to turn our backs on the rest of the world and on humanity and on all the potential human rights that suffering that we could avoid by doing something about climate change now.
We've got seconds left, and Alexander wants to know, what influenced your desire to make this film in the first place? I think you kind of touched on that earlier.
Yeah, you know, I really think that climate change is, you know, obviously such a huge topic, and it's so difficult to kind of wrap your head around it. And I saw this as a chance to humanize the situation. Nasheed is such he's kind of a one in a billion type of figure. He really is a unique character, and the kind of hope and optimism and strength that he brings to the subject really is unparalleled. And, you know, whether it was climate change or not, watching a film about that kind of leadership really is just an amazing experience.
Well, you've captured the man, and the new documentary film, Island President, follows the ex-president's rise to power, his quest to cut carbon emissions around the globe, and go see it. It opens March 30th at Landmarks Embarcadero Center Cinema in San Francisco and April 6th at Landmarks Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. And John Schenck, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.